Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
To Nature Spirituality. This is your host, Selena Fox, and every week we explore different dimensions of nature spirituality paths. Tonight, we explore magic mirrors. Mirrors are ancient. They've taken a lot of forms over the ages. And not surprisingly, in addition to their use for daily life, there's also been sacred uses, magical uses, ritual uses. Tonight, we're going to explore ways of working with magic mirrors, selecting them, blessing them, aligning with them, and take a look at magic mirrors in lore and in mythology, and some practical ways of working with magic mirrors as part of one's own spiritual practices. So what makes a mirror magic? There's many types of mirrors, but how does a mirror become a magic mirror? So first of all, it is how the mirror is used. Many people who do mirror magic work will have one or more mirrors that are specifically dedicated for magical use. That is their purpose, and they aren't used in other ways. Other people will have mirrors in their daily life, and prior to using a mirror that may be used for daily life purposes, there will be a blessing or a realignment of that mirror for use in rituals. Another way to make a mirror magic has to do with its history of use. If one is getting a used mirror that one wants to dedicate as a magic mirror, it's important to do some type of cleansing, consecration, and alignment with that mirror so that any previous uses that are not compatible with what one wants to use the mirror for are dispelled so that one can work with that mirror and create a new history for it. What makes a mirror magic? Results. You're working with a magic mirror, doing mirror magic. Is it effective? Is it accomplishing what you have intended? Being able to reflect on that and make notes of your work with mirrors in magical ways is a way to grow your knowledge and expertise. It helps chart your learning. Some people do this by jotting notes in a magical workbook or diary. Some may blog about it. Some may have a special notebook or way of recording one's work with mirrors that one keeps with the mirror or mirrors. Mirrors for magic can be made of a variety of different materials, can take a variety of different forms. And I'd like to share with you some of the materials that are used for magic mirrors. Water. Indeed, it is said that the first mirrors, reflecting surfaces, have dated back to the earliest of humankind's experiences with being able to understand reflections, to get glimpses of self and other things. Looking at reflections in a pool or a pond of water. Water can be in a spring, in a lake. Typically, when you're working with water as material for mirror magic, it has a calm surface, and one can use that surface as the focal point for the mirror magic work. In addition to bodies of water, one can actually use water in the form of droplets, or one can gather water from a sacred watery place and put it in some type of bowl or chalice. Some have a particular scrying bowl that's used with water as a kind of magic mirror. Of course, for those of us that are in places where it gets very cold and we have four seasons in the winter, things will take the form of ice. Some ice is sufficiently clear and flat that one can scry within a sheet of ice and use that as a kind of mirror. In antiquity, in addition to water being a type of mirror, metal was used. Silver, copper, gold, bronze, and in more recent times, newer metals such as aluminum. In this case, the metal is highly polished, and one can see a reflection within the polished piece of metal. A glass surface, a window pane, for example, can be used as a kind of magic mirror. This is especially helpful if one has a need for this and there is not the opportunity to get a different type of mirror. A crafted glass mirror is perhaps the most common form of magic mirrors today. This typically has a silvered back and the reflecting surface has a silvery appearance. But there's also a way to craft a glass mirror that's known as a black mirror. And crafted mirrors can take a lot of different forms. Some people will have their magic mirror be something that's permanently fixed to a wall or in a frame that's hung on a wall. Some will have a standing mirror that's within a wooden frame. Hand mirrors can be used, a compact type of mirror, and there are mirrors that can be helpful that are connected with vehicles, you know, the rear view mirror and side mirrors. But these are not commonly used as magic mirrors, but those who might want a different kind of mirror can go to a auto parts store, and that's another type of mirror that one could convert into a magic mirror. Black mirrors can be flat, but they may be convex or concave. And silver mirrors also can take those types of forms. In addition to these materials, I'd like to share with you some additional ways of conceptualizing mirrors and the potential of working with them in some kind of magical way. My own academic and professional background has been in psychology, and one of the ways that we were able to get information during experiments was using what's known as a one-way mirror, a room where one actually looks through a mirror and can see what's happening in the experimental room. Those who are in the experimental room will see a silvery mirror and not see that there are people behind it. Certainly, if one is going to be working with that type of magic mirror, it's important to follow protocols and really reflect on that type of work. But it is an interesting way of working with a mirror to gain information, to research, and to increase understanding. Mirrors are used in telescopes and in photography, and reflecting of light in lenses. And one who may be involved with astronomy and/or with photography may actually connect with the magic of mirrors that are in equipment as part of one's practice of the profession or avocation. Another material for magic mirrors is what I call envisioned. These are magic mirrors that appear in meditation, in dreams, and things that may be intentionally incorporated in path workings and guided imagery experiences. Sometimes magic mirrors that come to us in dreams or visions that rise spontaneously through our spiritual experiences are not only indicative of what the narrative is that one's experiencing at the time, but they may be hearkening to other levels of understanding of mirrors and magic. And in some cases, may signify the need to actually have a physical magic mirror as part of one's spiritual life. Mirrors can have a variety of shapes and sizes. Square mirrors are the ones that are most often mounted permanently on walls, bathrooms and living rooms and other parts of a home or an office. The advantage of having a large mirror is that it not only is helping with being able to be part of the decor of a room, but it may be reflecting light. And for those who practice mirror work in connection with home blessing, feng shui, which is from Asia, and some related forms that may be more rooted in European and North American traditions, these mirrors can serve a multi-purpose factor. Because they typically are large and they're permanently installed, there are some limitations, but one can work with a mirror of that type and to align it for ceremonies as the need arises. Small square mirrors, rectangular mirrors, oval mirrors, round mirrors, these might fit in the size of one, that are the size of one's hand. They may be something that one uses in connection with grooming and other beauty needs. Some mirrors are framed and can hang on a wall or stand independently. There's a special type of feng shui mirror, a Bagua mirror. It's oxygon shaped, and they're trigrams that are around the eight-sided frame of these mirrors. Now, this is a specialty type of mirror, and it is important to have somebody who's skilled in feng shui or to do the studies yourself under the guidance of somebody who's skilled in it. If you're an expert yourself in it, then I'm sure you will be able to get a sense of where it's appropriate to put such mirrors. This octagon shape of a mirror actually has its roots going back to Shinto. And in the Shinto religion, which is the ancestral religion and a nature religion from old Japan, this eight-sided mirror is connected with the story of Amaterasu, the sun goddess. And this mirror was hung from a tree to lure the goddess out of a cave at winter solstice time. And the mirror represents honesty, according to some, wisdom, and there is said to be an octagon-shaped treasure, Yata no Kagumi, or Gami, that's kept by the Imperial House of Japan. So Amaterasu's mirror actually has given rise to octagon-shaped mirrors that are used by many people today who are practicing feng shui. A bit about magic mirror lore. In the ancient past, we have the story of Narcissus, who fell in love with his reflection and therefore did not fare well. And you also have mermaids in a number of different cultures and traditions through time that may be depicted with a comb and a mirror. This is especially the case in some Celtic traditions and in medieval heraldry. More contemporary lore takes us into the stories of Snow White, Beauty and the Beast, of Alice in Wonderland, and indeed Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone, the Mirror of Erised, where Harry Potter discovers this mirror at Hogwarts and looks in it and sees his deceased parents and was very taken by this, and then went and got his friend Ronald Weasley, who came to look at the mirror, and instead of seeing something from the past or seeing spirits of the dead, which was the case with Harry, he actually saw him winning a Quidditch match and holding a cup and being the head student. Well, this particular mirror was looking into the mirror and seeing what one wanted to see. And there's certainly levels of mythic interpretation for that. Snow White with the magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all, which was called forth by the queen in this story. And, of course, the mirror is responding that Snow White is the fairest of them all. That mirror has been depicted in a variety of different ways, and sometimes the spirit of the mirror comes out and is communicating with the queen, and sometimes there are images that are depicted there, depending on the rendition and whether it's in a art or a story that's being told or a movie. In Alice in Wonderland, you have Alice in the looking glass, as it's known to some, and Alice goes through a mirror as a kind of portal. Now, some of these old stories have continued to be part of the magic and the myth that informs mirror work today. Some of the other lore that is connected with magic mirrors goes back to ancient Greece, and Pythagoras was said to have had a magic mirror, and he held it up to the moon to be able to get a glimpse of the future. Now, another tradition and part of the lore connected with mirrors is that vampires and some other creatures from other worlds don't have a reflection. And one of the tales about this is that there is no soul, so it does not show up, and that's part of the way you can detect these particular entities. In some traditions in Eastern Europe, mirrors are actually buried with the dead as part of the lore of keeping the dead in its place. In death lore, mirrors are typically covered in a home or other place as a person is dying, and part of the thoughts around this is that it is preventing the spirit of the one crossing into the other world from getting distracted or trapped in a mirror. Now, you'll find this in Scottish traditions, some Jewish traditions, and some contemporary pagan traditions. Some additional lore connected with mirrors has to do with mirror breakage. Now, some will intentionally work with a mirror to have it contain things that one wants to release from life, and then take a mirror, a small mirror usually, and put it in some kind of cloth, bag, or other container where one can actually smash the mirror and in so doing release the negativity that one wants to release from life. Now, in some other traditions, it is bad luck to break a mirror. And some say you get 7 years of bad luck if you break a mirror. And that really goes back to the ancient Romans, who saw a renewal process within human life every 7 years. Some say that when a mirror breaks, it can portend a death or some type of challenge or tragedy. My own experience with mirrors and breakage of mirrors, whether it happens in an accidental way or an intentional way, so much of it has to do with context and intention. And one way of looking at a mirror smashing or breaking is that it can represent a transformation. It can herald an important change, whether it's an accidental or intentional breakage. So that's a bit about the lore of magic mirrors, and there's many, many tales about mirrors, talking mirrors, mirrors that transform, mirrors that foretell the future, mirrors that give us glimpses into the past. And I think part of the reason that mirrors have had such a mythic history over time across cultures and across spiritual traditions is because there is a mystery about mirrors. The reflective dimension of mirrors has fascinated humans and also been used by humans in a variety of different ways. I'd like to shift now and talk about rituals with magic mirrors, including going about and figuring out what type of mirror you're going to work with and transform into a magic mirror, and some rituals that can be done with magic mirrors. There's a variety of different uses for magic mirrors. It can serve as a portal into another dimension. A magic mirror can be a protective device. And not only in feng shui will you find this as something that deflects energy that's harmful from one's place, but it can be used in a warding fashion. Now, different traditions and different paths and practitioners are mixed in terms of the use of mirrors for warding. What I have used the most with the warding part of mirrors is to do an envisioning of mirror and to actually imagine oneself, such as in a mirrored egg or a mirrored sphere, if one is finding oneself in a situation where there is danger or concern. And going back to my roots in psychology, I make that kind of warding mirror a kind of one-way mirror where I can actually see out, but the mirror form keeps the attentions and the intentions of those who are problematic from coming into my space, and I have found that to be helpful in creating a sense of confidence and safety and centering. But here again, you have to take a look at what particular tradition is working for you and the situation as to whether that's going to be a helpful thing or not. Another purpose that one can use a magic mirror for has to do with illumination. Being able to bring more light into a ritual space and to bring about illumination in the form of awareness. Group attunement. It can be a group spirit tool. I was part of a ceremonial magical lodge early on in my priestess life, and part of our work together involved us having triangular mirrors that, as part of our ritual life, we put together to form the altar. And each of us had our own mirror. They were all the same shape, and when we put them together, it created a beautiful altar top, and that was a way of us individually joining together, and things that we needed to focus on, we would then put in the very center of our mirror, and the point where all the different triangular mirrors converged. And some groups may have, instead of interlocking mirrors, may have a particular mirror that is set in the center of the circle or in the center of an altar if one's working in a more rectangular temple form, and have that be a kind of focal point. And if there is a tool in addition to the mirror that represents the group, it might be some type of a special stone, or it may be a special symbol that is placed on the mirror as a way of amplifying and energizing that particular focal point and attuning the group to the group spirit. Amplification is another use of magic mirrors, and this can be done in a variety of ways. Some will put a small mirror on one's altar, and then if one has a particular intention that one is working on for self or others, for example, sending some healing to someone in need who's requested it, then the person's name or something representing that person is placed on or near the mirror. And sometimes some other object, such as a quartz crystal, is placed there, which are used to direct and increase the energy for that intention. Mirrors can be used to bless the home, and there's different ways of doing that. Some will have particular places where a mirror is placed, not only to be an object of beauty, but to assist the flow of energy around one's home. Mirrors can also be used to attune to different types of natural forces. One may take a mirror out into the sunshine and let the rays of the sun come into the mirror to bless it. Or one might take a mirror out and have it be out under the full moon. One may take a mirror into a foggy area and let the essence of that fog come in and align with the mirror, and then put the mirror away until one might need that particular element for use in ceremonies. Mirrors can actually be used to signal and to send light in particular patterns. On a very pragmatic side, if one is in need of calling for help in a wilderness area, a mirror can be used, especially if there's sun out, ideally you need that, to capture that sunlight and to flash a signal. Often it is Morse code for SOS, to let people know that there's an emergency or a need for rescue. And in fact, some people who do backpacking and other wilderness exploration will take a small mirror with them to use for this kind of signaling help. But it also can be used as a way of interfacing with the magic of light. Divination is an ancient use for magic mirrors of a variety of types. Now, This may take the form of scrying, whether it be in a bowl of water or a pond or on a burnished bronze circle or in a silver mirror or a black mirror. As one scries, one has the intention. It may be to get insight into the past. It might be looking ahead into the future. It might get guidance for the present. It may be attempting to tune in to a person, a place, a thing. Scrying can also be used in combination with meditative states for communicating with others across a distance. Another form of divination is taking a look at one's past lives. Another form is to really aid in one's self-actualization and spiritual growth, to get a sense of oneself and true nature within. Magic mirrors can also be used to help one get prepared to interface with the world, to help one grow in self-confidence, to intensify affirmations. And indeed, some people have been using mirrors in connection with dance practice and exercise to be able to evaluate how one is doing. And while some may call that mundane use, the idea of using mirrors to observe the self and to get a more realistic understanding of how one is something that has both a practical daily life dimension as well as something that can take us deeper in terms of personal evaluation and transformation. So, looking to get a mirror, to become a magic mirror, how does one go about that? It is not necessary to spend a lot of money to have a mirror become part of your spiritual toolkit. It's important that whatever mirror that you choose is something that's going to fit the purpose or purposes that you intend the mirror for. So size and shape, convenience, all of these are things to consider as you go about questing for a mirror. Now, some people like to get antique mirrors, secondhand mirrors, mirrors that are one of a kind, and certainly being able to go to garage sales and antique stores and other places that sell used materials can be an avenue for that. Some people prefer to get a brand new mirror that has not had a previous use, and there's certainly good reasons for that, in that you are starting with a mirror and going to be letting it evolve as you align with it. As you go about selecting your mirror, keeping in mind what you hope to be able to use it for, it's also important to create a time and a place where one can, once one's obtained the mirror, do some type of cleansing work, even if it's a brand new mirror. Now, some people will use one of the five elements of nature, earth, air, fire, water, spirit. Some may use each of those elements to do a cleansing. For earth, touching the mirror to a stone or anointing it with salt not a good idea if it's a metal mirror, but, you know, with a glass mirror, that's an option. For incense, smudging the mirror with incense, some people who are going to pick just one of the elements typically will use the incense method. If one's using fire, passing it over or near a flame or a hearth fire, or holding it out into the sun and working with sun as a form of fire. Water, actually cleansing the surface of the mirror with water as a way of physically cleansing it. Spirit, anointing it with oil, using a crystal. Those are five different ways of cleansing the mirror. Once you have cleansed it, then to do a ceremonial alignment and consecration. Some will hold this in their hands as one projects into the mirror the intention. Some may use chanting. Some may be facing each of the sacred directions of a sacred circle. Those who work with circles as part of spiritual tradition. Some may take the mirror and do a meditation in a beautiful natural place, and to have the beauty of nature surrounding oneself also be absorbed and connected with the mirror by holding the mirror out and walking a circle clockwise around as the mirror is held outward, also holding it to sky and above and land beneath. And then in the center, holding the mirror and doing a blessing with it. Once one has cleansed the mirror, done a blessing in alignment with the mirror, then one needs to figure out when to use it and where to store it. Some people like to wrap a magic mirror, if it's small enough, in some type of cloth. Some use silk, some kind of cotton. It's important if you are going to be enclosing it in some type of material that you have that in a location where you can always find it and work with it. Some people like to keep the mirror out and visible on their altar or in some other special place. And clearly that works for many people. And then as one is working with the mirror for magical purposes, one will do a re-energizing as one is activating it for use. If one gets to a point where a mirror that has been used as a magic mirror needs to be retired in some way, there are different ways of doing this. One can be consecrating it and cleansing it for whoever the new owner is going to be, and sometimes it's a matter of doing a smudge or some other cleansing and then presenting it as a gift and so that the new owner can work with it. Some people who don't want to pass on the mirror but do not plan to use it for a time, they do some kind of deactivation and actually place it in some kind of box or a drawer or some other place where one knows where it is and do a kind of deactivation. So I'd like to share with you now some ways of doing rituals with a magic mirror. Something that I have worked with at various times in my life, including early on, has been to use a mirror in a darkened room with candlelight, the light positioned in such a way it doesn't directly reflect into the mirror, and to do a centering, a cleansing of self and space, and to do mirror gazing to get a sense of layers of self, of dimensions of self, and to sit quietly, to call on the sacred force or forces according to tradition, and then being present with the mirror and to go into a meditative state and to gaze into the mirror. I have gotten insights in terms of past lives using this method. I also have gotten a sense of connections with the divine, of actually looking deep within oneself and having a sense, as I've done that process, of guidance coming forth in terms of life's growth and development, really looking at the deeper questions of what life is about. If one is doing this type of mirror gazing, then it can be helpful to have a journal nearby where one is able to make a note of the guidance that is received and therefore can be reflected on later. Being able to do sketches of what you might glimpse in the mirror is another use of having a journal and pen nearby as you do a mirror gazing ceremony. Another ritual involving a mirror is for those who really want to bolster self-esteem, to actually develop skills in being able not only to look at oneself in the mirror, but to be able to take that time of looking at self, of going with a heart of appreciation and self-acceptance. Some will repeat an affirmation. I celebrate my power within. I celebrate myself. And may I grow in confidence and ways of being in the world. There or a variety of different things that you can use to reinforce ways of bolstering self-confidence and self-acceptance and self-esteem. Now, that is best done in short periods of time, and then immediately when you're complete, going forth and going into the world. And as one gazes at oneself, one of the things that can be helpful is to close one's eyes and get an image of self within one's mind's eye and to start associating one's image and oneself with the wisdom that is within. And to have that as a touchstone to aid one as one goes through life. Something that I have worked with in connection with Samhain work and honoring the dead, I have a particular kind of mirror and crystal that I have used as a portal to honor ancestors and honor beloved dead. When I'm working with it as a portal, I have it visible. But when I'm not working with that, I have a black velvet cloth that I place over it as symbolic of closing that portal so it's not left open the entire time. Some people like to work with what I call the bright mirror and the dark mirror. The bright mirror, to be able to assess one's self, a realistic look at self and acceptance of self, to get insights in who one is and who one is becoming or could become. And then the dark mirror, or a black scrying mirror, being a mirror that's used to look into the shadows of self. Shadows, not only things that may be problematic that one needs to sort through, but the shadows of potentials that one has not summoned forth or actualized. Sometimes that shadow work helps us break through our own restraints to being able to more fully self-actualize. Sometimes that shadow work helps us make peace with uncertainty in our lives. Mirrors can be given as gifts, and one may fashion a small mirror and do a blessing on it and give it as a gift to somebody in need of healing or as a symbol of friendship. Another ritual involving a magic mirror is to have a mirror that's dedicated to a particular purpose and then painting on the mirror or using some kind of oil and etching a symbol or writing a word for the particular purpose of that mirror. So if one seeks to amplify prosperity in one's life, one may write the word prosperity on it, dipping one's finger in like olive oil or some essential oil. It could be on the back of the mirror, it could be on the front of the mirror. Or one may chant over the mirror, to enchant the mirror, and then have that mirror placed on an altar where that purpose can continue to be used. I think one of the powerful things about working with magic mirrors, there are many options for this. Some people like to work with a magic mirror using incense and to kindle the incense and to have the smoke rise up in front of the mirror. Alternatively, some people may boil some water and put it in a bowl and let the steam from that water rise up, which gives a kind of hazy atmosphere around the mirror that can help with scrying and working with the mirror. One way that I have worked with mirrors is part of spiritual work. I have, if I'm going to be facilitating a ceremony or doing a blessing, especially if there is a strict time limit on it, and I've done some invocations in particular places, I will practice first the invocation on my own and get the timing down, and then as my next step, I will go to a mirror that I either use for magical purposes or a day-to-day type mirror on the wall, which I will then bless as my preparation mirror, and I will do my invocation as I look at myself, and in so doing, I give myself the opportunity not only to hear my words, the tone, the pacing, the enunciation, but I observe the nonverbals that I do, and I found that that is a really powerful addition to presentations. And the third step is to actually close my eyes and to imagine myself doing the invocation and seeing myself doing so. And even though I have done presentations over the years, I on occasion will use the mirror magic as a preparation aid, especially when I'm going into a new situation, and usually a non-pagan situation, in which I seek to build bridges of understanding and communication. Well, we've taken a look at a variety of different types of mirrors, materials that can serve for mirrors. We've looked at some mirror rituals, and we've also taken a look at mirror lore. I do think that mirrors can aid us in not only our work on self-awareness and understanding, that can aid us in our own growth, but mirrors also can connect us with others and be a means for directing energy for particular situations and to those in need. Mirrors are a wonderful tool to incorporate as part of one's spiritual life. I thank you all for tuning in, and I invite you to share your own experiences with magic mirrors with me via social media. On Facebook, you can find my post about magic mirrors and post there if you wish. Selena Fox Updates on Twitter, at @Selena_Fox, on Instagram, Selena Fox. And I've started a YouTube channel, so if you're also interested in connecting with me and some of my teachings and short videos, you can find me at Selena Fox. Thanks for listening, and I invite you to tune in to other podcasts that are part of the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. We have podcasts that happen many times during the week, and we will be celebrating our one-year anniversary as a network on the March full moon, March 9th. So I invite you to tune in to that show and connect with our team. For more information about Circle Sanctuary, you can find us on the web, circlesanctuary.org, on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Community. You'll also find us on Twitter and on Instagram. Thanks for all those who help with CSNP, our team, David and Jeanette Ewing, Deborah Rose, Laura Gonzalez, and our social media coordinator, Casey Pope. And I wish you good evening and many blessings. May the mirror magic that you explore work well and aid you and others as you go about life's journey. Blessed be.
joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.